Let us explore the Bible together on Glorious Morning Study Hour on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
And so we welcome you yet again to another conversation space right here on Adventist World Radio SID Media. We call it the Scripture Spotlight, and we're done with the Bible principle for the week, right? And as we always do in the second half of the week, we then go into our Voice of Prophecy conversation. It's a lesson study, Bible study course, which we then go through. And as always, we invite you to not only listen in and study with us here on the radio, but actually get yourself a copy of the Voice of Prophecy lesson and be able to go through in your own space. We're currently doing the Discover Study Guide, a series of 26 lessons, and we are beginning lesson number 5 for this week. And joining us on the line is going to be our sister Claire, who's going to be talking to us on this particular subject right here and helping us understand what is the lesson behind it for you and for me. Now, every single one of us has a moment in life where we wish we could press a reset button. I can almost imagine that everyone does, right? We carry the weight of the past mistakes that we've done, broken relationships, and times we simply lost our way. No matter how far you have fallen or how broken your situation looks, a total restart is possible. Yep, I know it's a shocking one, but it is possible. And today we're going to be then talking about the ultimate gift of a clean slate, the beauty of reconciliation, and how you can claim your very own second chance right now. And joining us, like I said, is our guest, Sister Claire Mulamvu. Sis, good morning to you and welcome to AWR.
Good morning, thank you, and thank you for having me today.
Only a pleasure. Trusting that we find you well.
I'm okay, thank you.
Marvelous stuff. Thank you so much again for joining us as we study together this particular subject right here. We are looking at the joy of a second chance. If someone is to just say, you know what is this lesson all about, and give us a summary of it, what would you say to them? Especially this testimony that comes through, right? Senator Harold Hughes, quite a potent one. Talk to us a bit about that.
Okay, thank you so much. So in today's story, we see this senator that had everything.
Mm-hmm.
He had all the tools that he had, but he had one particular problem of drinking.
Mm.
I must say he was an alcoholic and was trying to move away from that. And so of all the joys that he's had in his life, of all the titles, the appointments that he's had that used to give him the joy, but the very a moment when he had an opportunity to reconnect with his daughter, that was the moment when he counts as the most joyous moment
okay.
in his life.
Okay.
So this really happened at a time when he was reading the Word of God, and his daughters came through to him and said, "Daddy, we want to kiss you goodnight."
Hmm.
So you can imagine if someone was an alcoholic and there was such a disconnection. Maybe even the daughters were afraid of him in that particular moment, or in that state that he used to be when he was an alcoholic. But then when he began to study the Word of God, it's like there was this reconciliation that God restored his relationship with him and his relationship with the daughters. And we find a family reunited again, being given a second chance.
Yeah.
So I would say, this story puts us in a situation where we learn that our relationship with God really affects our relationship with our
yes.
fellow human beings,
yes.
with the people around us. So if your relationship with God is not in check, you will definitely have trouble having a good relationship with the people around you. And so all the titles that we have can have all the good life, but it cannot replace the need of the Savior in our lives.
Certainly.
And one important thing is that second chance follows one taking responsibility of their action.
Mm.
You see, we don't just get a second chance because someone feels they should give us a second chance. No, there is something that we need to do. We need to check ourselves. We take responsibility of the actions that we've done. We say, okay, I've been college, but what if I change? Maybe I can... my relationship with my family, my friends can be restored. I've been a fornicator. What if I stop doing this? can my relationship with God be restored? God gives us a second chance when we take responsibility of our actions and we are willing to change. So the Savior is always waiting. The Savior is always waiting.
Yeah.
When he waits for us, he will not wait for us with all the mistakes that we've done. Once we go back to him, then he really gives us a second chance.
A second chance. A beautiful one. And I think maybe let's touch on that then, because somebody listening may be saying, okay, I hear it's one thing to talk about an estranged daughter and father being brought back together and getting a second chance at life in that regards. But you don't know what I've done, Sister Claire. You don't know what I've done and what has happened in my life. And you're saying I can get a second chance. Maybe talk to us about how Jesus then offers people, anybody listening today, that second chance. How does he do it?
Thank you so much. So, if getting a second chance from God is actually something easy, it can even be easier than getting it from a fellow human being.
Mm.
Because for God, He expects us, all He expects us to do is confess. We go back to Him and say whatever, and He doesn't leave what confessions He can accept from us. He says, whatever we have done, when he died on the cross of Calvary, he did not die for specific sins, no. He died for all the wrong things that we could do. So that when we feel we've been away from him, we've been estranged from him, we have to go back and he forgives us.
Okay.
And when God forgives us, he washes all our sins, not just part of them. He forgives all our sins. And so when God forgives us, he gives us a second chance to live again.
Amen.
A second chance to do the right thing again. Okay? And so once we confess to God and he forgives us, he doesn't just end there. He knows we have done so many things. There are so many things that I cannot talk to someone next to me right now that I can only talk to God about. And that's the beauty thing about him, because he's the only one that I can confess to, and he's the only one that can give me that second chance. And when he gives me that second chance, he also gives me the ability to fight sin. He gives me a new heart. I read it in Ezekiel 36:26, where the Bible says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. So it's just a matter of us going back to God, and God gives us a new life, a second chance. And he doesn't patch the old life that you live. No. He doesn't say, okay, I'll just patch this old life that you have. I'll not give you the new life. He gives a brand new life. Sometimes our relationships, we can remind someone of what they've done, in as much as we say we've given them a second chance. But with God, he doesn't do that. Yes. So when he gives us a second chance, how does he do that? He forgives us and he gives us a new life, a new heart.
Some new impressions indeed that he lays upon our hearts and our lives, and he just says, you know what, you can start over again. Earlier on I whispered about someone who might be thinking, I you don't know what I've done. I've done the worst of the worst. And even after you've spoken about this forgiveness issue and so forth, and perhaps this person is looking at how maybe they wronged someone, and this someone is saying they will never forgive. In fact, they even have whispered or even shouted at them to say, what you've done can never be forgiven. Is that true, though, that even God, there are situations that are too hard or even impossible for him to save us from, to forgive us?
The answer is no. You see, if we say there are things that are difficult for God, then he ceases to be God. He'll cease to be God, because the Bible ensures us to say there is nothing too difficult. There's no hard to hard. There's nothing too hard for God to forgive or to do. You see, when we talk about God, we are talking about a man who could cut death. And there's person that has never done that. And that gives us the hope to say what God says he will do, he will surely do.
Amen.
So think of the story of Sarah. In her old age, God told her to say, we're going to have a child. Human speaking, logically, that is impossible. That was so impossible. God anything is possible. Who would have thought the children of Israel would have crossed the Red Sea?
Yeah.
Who would have thought of that? You know, these are people that were from slavery. They had no training of some kind. I'm sure if it was in today's life, when that happened, would have been seeing a lot of posts on WhatsApp saying, what are we going to do? We are going to die. We are doomed. There would have been a lot of complaints. But God stepped in for them because He understands to say, where our logical thinking is, that is where the power of God begins. And I love it when people say, the ways of God are higher. Actually, it's the Bible that says, your ways are better than mine, are higher than yours. So the ways of God are higher than our ways. So if every situation that you think is too difficult, God says it is possible.
It's possible.
It is the very reason He says to say, humanly, it is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. So, someone can be going through so much addiction in their life. They could be going something so stressful. It can be finances, your marriage. Just present everything to God because God says it is possible with Him. He forgives all sins. He makes situations change because He is a possible God. He is so powerful and nothing is too hard for Him. So, is there anything hard for God? There's nothing that is hard for the Lord. Everything is possible.
You only need to
present everything to Him.
What if the person says, but I've committed the unpardonable sin and Christ says there is no forgiveness for such a one. How can you be so sure, Sister Claire, that God can forgive me? What would be your response there?
Well, when we talk about the sin that cannot be pardoned, if God says, what I'll say is, we are all given a chance. We are all given chances in life. Yeah? We're all given chances, and there are so many things that we have done in our life that God has been forgiving us.
Mm-hmm.
And before we even commit that sin that cannot be pardoned, God must have been forgiving us for the wrong things and for the wrong ways that we've been taking. But God also, the love of God, I will not say it has been it, but there are choices that people would make in life that would not be blamed on God for not forgiving them for the wrong that they've done. Like we talk of the sin of the unpardoned sin. I think that's the sin where you reach your limit now. God has really tried to persuade you. God has really tried to plead with you. You know, the Spirit is pleading with you, but God has chosen your own way. So that is a matter of choice. You have chosen to go astray in that way. And there's not, God cannot force us to be in
to be saved
a path that we do not want to be. Yes, that's one thing we should know. God cannot force us to be in a path that we do not want to be. And if that is the way that you have chosen, then the Lord will respect that choice of yours. So when you are still given a time to make your way straight, you better utilize that time because a time will come when even the Bible says, it's he that is righteous, let him remain righteous still.
Mm-hmm.
And if that time you're still playing around and you find yourself in that situation, you don't blame God to say, you're not forgiven. He has given you a chance. You were given a chance and you squandered that chance. Yes.
May we be found.
I mean, that's how we put it in that way.
Yeah. Maybe if we found as people who are not squanderers of such chances, like you're saying, and be found really as people who are doing the things that God is requiring of us as well. There, talk to us as well about the significance of, how can I put it, of being invited to Jesus, right? And how there's this freedom you're raising and you spoke about just now, and how it's different to being taken by force. And how does that put the onus on us rather than God, this idea of claiming the second chance? I love how when you look at the promise of Christ, John chapter 3, verse 16, the Bible says He gave life to everybody. But it's only whosoever wills who will benefit from it. Right. Talk to us a bit about that, to say what's the significance of this invite that Christ says, whosoever will, let them come and take this eternal life, as rather than saying, yeah, everyone now will live because I have died on the cross.
Okay. So when we talk about invitation, so when someone invites you, I'll take it, you know, human relationship in our interactions with other people, where if you are invited to a function and you accept, that shows you are willing to comply with whatever that is going to happen there. So it's the same with our relationship with Christ. Christ invites us, and when we accept the invitation, we are saying we are willing to comply. And I love it to say he does not force it on anyone. Because once you begin to force things, it's a thing of where someone begins to feel like a slave, and it becomes to feel like a kind of relationship that is under dictatorship.
Mm.
Because when you are forced, you have no say. Mm. You are pushed to do something that is against your will. But God does not operate that way. Because if he does, then we would have been doing things in fear. Not because we want to, but he gives each and every one of us a chance to accept his invitation. He just extends an invitation, and then you choose whether to go or not. Okay?
Yeah.
And so when we talk of an invitation obviously builds a healthy relationship. Because once you accept to say, I've accepted Christ's invitation, I've accepted to say, okay, this is the life that Christ has given you. It builds a relationship, and you begin to nurture that relationship without being forced, without living in fear of the consequences of not doing that. Mm. Of course, being Christian doesn't mean we just fear the consequences of not being Christian. No, mm-hmm. It's a choice that you take. Because there are people who have nothing to do with Christianity. They have nothing to do. They don't even want to hear about it. That is their thing.
Yep.
But when you choose to be a Christian, you are accepting an invitation, and you, by accepting that invitation, then you begin to nurture that relationship that you with. Yes.
Mm, profound. That's all you need to do. And I mean, this is such a stirring word that you've been sharing with us, this opportunity that Christ is offering to each and every one of us, you know, the second chance at life. When you read the book of Acts in chapter 2, after Peter has spoken, the Bible says in verse 37 that the people were then pricked in their heart. They were convicted, right, to their conscience stirred, and they asked a question, what shall we do? And what would you respond to someone who can be saying today, how then do I accept this invitation Christ is offering me for the second chance? How do I do it? How do I express that I believe and I want to get myself a second chance?
Okay. So how do we accept this second chance? How do we accept or express our acceptance of this invitation?
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you, acceptance means aligning our ways with the one that has called us. So your heart may be pricked, and then you hear the word of God you've been preached to, and you are convinced to say, this is really the word of God, but what should I do to accept this? So you have accepted the invitation. And how do you express it?
Mm-hmm.
You align your way with the one that has called you. So
okay.
In Ephesians, I love Ephesians 4 verse 1, where Paul tells us to say, we need to walk in a manner that is worthy of our calling, to which the Lord has called us, eh?
Mm.
So if you are called, when someone calls you, you either answer or do not answer, or ignore. So when you are called, and when you are called to walk in the manner of your calling, it means you have accepted. And you are, for you to express that acceptance, to express that acceptance of the invitation, you walk in the manner of the one that is calling you.
Mm.
What does this mean? It means this has everything to do with our lifestyle. This has everything to do with our character. We do not just say we have accepted the invitation of Christ and still remain the same. No.
Okay.
There's no difference there. Acceptance means you are aligning everything you do with the one that has called you. You know, Thessalonians 4:7 also says, God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness. So when God calls you, he calls you for holiness. And what does holiness mean? It has everything to do with how you live your life.
Yeah.
You could have been alive and in another lifestyle that, you know, you used to please your flesh and all those things. But when Christ calls you and you accept it, you express that acceptance of the invitation by living a life of holiness. So all in all, when we say we have accepted and want to express, what shall we do? We invite God to help us so that we align everything that we do in our lives with the things of heaven. Because the one that calls us for higher things and not the things of the world. So alignment shows your expression of the acceptance of the invitation that is extended by God.
Amen. Amen. The invitation extended by God, and that's something that we need on a daily basis. Well, so it's clear we'll have to leave it here for today, and we can't wait to hear what would come up, because sure, you would think we are done with any lesson that can ever be taught when you hear about the second chance God is giving and the reclamation that we are being provided from sin, right? So thank you so much for today. We'll have to leave it here, and we want to just thank you once again for taking the time to be with us and our listeners.
Thank you so much for having me once again.
Only a pleasure. Only a pleasure. That's our guest who's taking us through this lesson. We are looking profoundly at lesson number 5, the joy of second chance. And it's something that you, my dear friend, can receive for yourself.
Do you want to take part in a Bible study that can help you understand the Bible better? Tune in to Glorious Morning every Thursday and Friday at 7:20 a.m. and on Maranatha Drive every Monday and Tuesday at 4 p.m. for an interactive Bible study. Through these studies, you can find answers for facing the issues and challenges you deal with every day. You can also find these studies on www.voiceofprophecy.com.